Well, we are happy to be able to be here today and be able to spend the whole day with you. And I hope that you'll be back tonight as we will be giving a presentation tonight explaining a little bit about the ministry. I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to Romans 8:28. And this is one of those verses. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And it's one of those verses that I'm not going to say it's more important than any other verse in the Bible. Obviously, all Scripture, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But there are certain verses in the Bible that I believe that will help you a great deal in your walk with Christ. And as a Christian, it will help you to have victory in different areas of your life. This is one of those verses that if you can really get a hold of this verse, you know, there's so much as far as Christianity is concerned, as far as Christians are concerned, there's so much lack of peace. Not being able to live the Christian life that you should be, a defeated Christian life. But I think if we get a hold of this verse, if we really understand this verse and apply this verse to our lives as Christians, it will help us to have the peace that God promises us as Christians. It'll give us the victory in our lives that God wants us to have. And so as we look at this verse this morning, and this is a Sunday school hour, so please feel free to ask questions. Please feel free to stop me and put your two cents in if you'd like. I don't mind that at all. Matter of fact, if you don't ask me questions, then I end up starting to preach at you. And you probably don't want me to preach and the pastor to preach later on. Please ask questions. That's what this time is for. It's a time that we can study God's Word. Romans 8:28, and you probably all know this verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What does that verse mean? Anybody want to start us out? Ask maybe having your ideas of what this verse means. You're probably right, but maybe we can get some little bit of input from different people. Anyone? Don't be shy. I should be the shy one, okay? I'm a visiting missionary. I should be the one that's shy, not you. Normally I am shy. Go ahead. That's right. And a lot of the new churches, not the new churches, but the more liberal churches, the more new evangelical churches, that's what they use it for. Oh, yeah, you'll get what you want in life. You'll get the car that you want. You'll get the house that you want. You'll get prosperity here on this earth. That's not what this verse means. Matter of fact, it actually contradicts what this verse means, that belief. Any other? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Yep. There's many. Those were all good answers, good insight into this verse. And we're going to look at some of those as we look at this verse more carefully. First of all, what does this mean? What does this verse mean to you? That's right. Okay. That's right. It's according to His purpose. All right. How many of you have problems in life? Go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, I think everybody does. Hopefully, as a Christian, you have problems, and we're going to look at that later on. If you don't have problems as a Christian, you're having problems because you don't have problems, okay? We all have problems. We have problems at home. We have problems at work. We have problems with our relatives. We have problems as we drive down the road and we go to the grocery store or whatever. We always have problems as Christians. We have different problems that we go through. So now that we know that everybody has problems, how many of you like problems? Go ahead and raise your hand. Don't be shy. Come on, go ahead. Raise your hand. Anybody? We like problems. We like trials. Okay? Not very many people like trials. Okay? We already talked about this a little bit earlier. Someone mentioned this. Who is this verse speaking to? Who? Believers, right. It says, to them who are the called, to them Let's see. I got to start at the beginning. I always mess up when I just try to pick it up in the middle. For them, or for good to them that love God. Okay, to them that love God. Who loves God? Do the lost love God? No. Most of them don't even believe in God, so how can they love God? And many of them are actually hate God. Most of the world, or I should say, those who don't believe in God evidently hate God. And so this is for those who are saved, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So what does it mean when it says all things work together for good to them that love God? We had someone mention that over, I can't remember where it was, but somebody already mentioned in the back. Yes, sir. All right. All things. Everything. Okay? When we read the verse Romans 3:23, we go out in visitation and we witness to people and we say, you know, that the verse says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means that you've sinned. The Bible says, because it says all. But a lot of times we don't apply that same word all to our situations. You know, we say, well, like it was already mentioned, some of the things that happen to me are for good, that God allows to happen for good. Some of the things, or most of the things. But no, the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God. Everything. Whether good or bad, whether it comes from God or whether it comes from our enemies, and something we have a tendency to categorize things. You know, we say, well, the weather comes from God, so obviously the weather, the bad weather, is from God, so it must be for my good. Okay? But when somebody at work is mean to me, we say, well, that's not from God. That's from my enemy. But God still makes that work out for our good. Remember Joseph and his brothers? His brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. It still turned out for good. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter who brings it our way. It really doesn't matter about our relationship with God as a Christian. We could be living contrary to God's desire for our lives, but yet God still allows it to come in our lives for our good. It might be to get us out of our own selfishness to the point where God can use it again. But all things, everything, no matter what it is, works together for good to them that love God. There's no exceptions. There is one exception, as we already mentioned earlier, that you're saved. That's the only exception. So if you're saved today, that's a promise from God that no matter what happens in your life, it's for your good. Not necessarily good on this earth. And that's what we often are looking at. We're looking at the things that happen on this earth. And we say, well, how can that be for good? I don't understand how that can be for my good. We're not looking at here and now. What happens here and now is really not important. And that's where we're all often misled. You know, we think, you know, it's about right now. It's about me. We think my life is about me. But my life as a Christian is about God. It's about glorifying God. But even if we don't think about it, it's still for good. It's still for our good, whatever happens, whatever comes our way. It's still for our good. But we have to realize that it's for the good for eternity's sake and not for the here and now. So again, what happens to all things? They work together for good, right? They happen to make it so that we will become more like Jesus Christ. In some way or another, it's going to make us a better Christian. It's going to make us a better servant of the Lord. And that's what this verse is all about. Now, again, sometimes we have doubts. We question, how can this work out for my good? But again, you have to look back at the Bible. What does the Bible say? We can't go on experience. We can't go on our feelings. we have to look at what the Bible says. The Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Yes, sir. Exactly right. That's exactly what Job went through. If you read the book of Job, at the very end, Job says, I've heard with my ears, but now I understand because I've seen it with my eyes. I've actually experienced these trials, and I know who God really is now. You know, it's not just a matter of hearsay. It's personally one-on-one experience. But as we do go through trials, and as we do tend to doubt this verse, when we doubt this verse, we're actually doubting God. We're actually doubting God's word. And that we have to be careful about that. That's sin. Okay? When we say, well, obviously this isn't for my good, you're calling God a liar, is what you're doing. So again, that's a caution that we need to be careful about the way that we respond to different trials in our lives. When we say, well, you know, this isn't for our good, then we're calling God a liar. So we have to be very careful about that. So what does it do? The different trials in our lives, the different problems that come our way, what does that do for us? Well, there are many things that it does. First of all, it keeps us trusting in God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So God is there. God won't allow you to be tempted more than you can handle. And when we realize that, we're trusting God. Okay, God, you're bringing me through this trial right now. Maybe you're having a financial trial right now, and you're saying there's no way out of this. You know, I have to come up with a plan on my own to get out of this situation. And sometimes we tend to come up with plans that aren't in obedience with God's word. But we have to step back and say, God's not going to tempt me above that I am able. God's got a way out. God's got a plan. And I have to trust Him. I have to rely on Him. Because there's no temptation taken me but such as is common to man. And all things work together for good to them that love God. And it's difficult. It's hard to do that. But as was already mentioned, that stretching of our faith, that trying of our faith makes us stronger, just like weightlifters. They have to bring their bodies to the point where it's exhausted, where it's in pain, in order to make it stronger. If they go a little bit too much, they might do permanent damage to their bodies. If they don't do enough, they're not going to grow enough. They're not going to grow fast enough. But again, God knows. God's not going to tempt you above that ye are able. You're not going to be put to the point where you can't stand it, where it's too much for you. God knows exactly your stretching point, where you can be stretched to, how far you can go. But we just have to trust Him. Our tendency is we get close to that point, we say, God, I can't handle it anymore. But we don't know. We don't know how much we can take. God does. So we just have to trust in Him and allow Him to keep working in our heart and in our lives. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He can help you. He can deliver you from that temptation, from that trial. It also keeps us growing. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. James 1:3-4, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be, what's the next word? Perfect. Entire. wanting nothing. How many of you want to be perfect Christians? Go ahead, raise your hand. Hopefully all of you want to be perfect Christians. Hopefully you want to be the very best you can be. So how do you get that way? By trials. Earlier, you know, everybody, hopefully everybody raised their hand. If you didn't, you don't have trials in your life, guess what? You're not going to be perfect. You have to have trials in your life to be perfect. You have to have trials in your life to grow as a Christian. Should I pray, Lord, please don't give me any trials in my life? You know, that's more damaging than it is good. We're really contradicting what God really wants for our lives. So it helps us to keep growing. It also keeps us going in the right direction. And again, I mentioned that earlier, that a lot of times we start to go the wrong way, maybe out of ignorance, maybe on purpose. But we're not doing what God wants us to do. Maybe we say, oh, well, there's an open door. I'm just going to take it. And that's where God wants me to go. And we find out later that's really not what God wanted out of my life. And so God has to bring different trials in my life to curve me, to get me to go back in the right direction. Yes, sir, in the back. Amen. Yep. Yep. We have to trust the Lord, to wait on Him, to depend on Him. And He'll get us to go in the right direction. He'll get us on the right path. And so that's a lot of times why God allows trials and temptations into our lives. But how should we respond to these trials? What should be our response? Yes, ma'am. That's right. Yep. And that's a lot of times why we don't take these trials the right way, is because we do have our affections here on this earth. And so we have to be careful. So how should we respond to these trials? Yes, sir. Yeah, we have to be joyful. That's the first thing. As trials come our way, we shouldn't become angry, but we should be happy. Why should we be happy? Okay, we have to be joyful. We have to be thankful. I think that's it on the other hand. Yes, ma'am. Right. Right. That's one of the reasons we need to be thankful, is because we know, because He's working in our lives, that He loves us. We know that He's working in our lives and He's got a plan for our lives. He's not just a careless father, someone who doesn't care what happens to his children. He's got a plan and a purpose. We should be happy because He's changing us, because He's making us perfect. You all said you wanted to be perfect, right? When trials come our way, that's what's happening. We're becoming more and more perfect all the time by these different trials. So we should be excited. Instead of becoming angry, we should be happy. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Yes, sir. Yep. And that's what happens, though. Often when we have trials come our way, we often have a tendency to gripe. We all often have a tendency to complain because we're thinking about ourselves instead of thinking about the Lord and what He's doing in our lives. And was already brought up earlier, you know, we need to be thankful when trials come our way. We need to be praying when trials come our way. James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. We shouldn't be griping. We shouldn't be complaining. You know what happens when we gripe and complain? Again, we're doubting God. And we're also a bad testimony. How many of you have witnessed to your neighbors before? Go ahead. Maybe I shouldn't do that, but okay. Imagine one day you're over at your neighbor's house. You're knocking on the door and you give them the gospel and you tell them, you know, what a wonderful life it is to be a Christian. The peace and satisfaction that you have. The joy of knowing that you have eternity in heaven. And how much you trust the Lord. You know, you've trusted the Lord in salvation. You have given Him your life. And you know you're going to heaven. Say maybe a week later, your car breaks down and some bad things happen to you. Maybe somebody broke into your house and stole some things from your house and your neighbor's at the fence and you're talking to them, oh, I can't believe this happened to me. You know, somebody broke in my house and my car's breaking down and I just got all these problems in my life. What do you think he's going to think about trusting Christ as his personal Savior? You, one minute you're telling him to trust Christ, and the next minute you're demonstrating with your life that you really don't trust Christ. It's the same faith as far as salvation is concerned and living the Christian life. It's not two different types of faith. It's the same thing. We need to trust Christ for our salvation, but we also need to trust Christ to live our lives here on this earth. Is he going to believe you when you're telling him to trust Christ for something he can't see? When you don't even trust Christ for things that you can see? That's going to be hard for him to understand. It's going to be hard for him to accept that. And so when we're not trusting Christ, we're actually a bad testimony, a bad witness for Christ. We have to be very careful about the way that we live our Christian life and the way that... See what kind of an impact this verse has on our lives? Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We need to be trusting Christ, depending on Him. Yes, sir. And again, that's really the important thing in life. The important thing in life is not this life. The important thing in life is eternity. Yes, ma'am. Again, you know, as we look at this verse, we can get so caught up on the things of this earth. A lot of people say, well, a Christian can't be happy on this earth. But I really don't believe that's true. I believe a Christian can be very happy on this earth. I believe a Christian can be more happy on this earth than the lost. And it depends on how you look at the trials in your life. You can have the peace of God that passes all understanding here on this earth. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to have happiness. Even though you're looking towards heaven, you're looking towards eternity, and that's what's going to give you peace and happiness. That's what's going to give you the joy on this earth. The things of this world aren't going to matter to you. As I often explain in Cambodia when I preach there, let me get my thoughts straight. I think I lost my where I was going to go. Okay, let's see if I can think of it again. Anyway, I better keep on going or else I'm going to get stuck. When we have trials that come our way, we often get mad and frustrated. And we often get angry at God. We have a tendency to say, God, why me? God, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? God, why don't you let me determine, you know, what's going to happen in my life? How many of you like puzzles? How many of you like put puzzles together, you know? My middle child, my daughter Leia, she likes to put puzzles together and I'm learning to like to put puzzles together. I've never liked it personally, but you know, you start out with your kids, you give them these small puzzles, you know, the little wooden ones that are, you know, 5 or 6 pieces, and usually they're the ones that you can only put them in one place. And then they graduate, they get 10-piece puzzles and 100-piece puzzles and 1,000-piece puzzles and 80,000-piece puzzles, and now they have the 3D puzzles. Can you imagine a puzzle the size of this podium that was 6 billion pieces? And you take one of those little pieces and you look at it, it's going to be hard to determine what that puzzle is going to look like in the end, isn't it? was one little piece of the puzzle. You can't really, it's too fine, you know, it's too detailed to be able to determine what that whole puzzle is going to be like. But yet that's what we're trying to do as Christians. We see our little piece of the puzzle, our little life. And we say, God, you don't know how this is going to work out. You don't know how it's supposed to happen. And yet God does know. We don't know. We don't even know what's going to happen in a minute from now. Let alone what's going to happen as far as eternity is concerned. We're looking at our little insignificant life and we're trying to determine, tell God what He should do with our lives and what He shouldn't do in our lives. And yet God sees it all. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows more about us than we do. Even right now. He knows your thoughts, your intent, your heart. Sometimes we're confused by our own desires. But God knows it all. We just need to trust Him. Depend on Him. He wants what's best for us. He loves us. He cares for us. And He promised us in this verse right here that all things are going to work together for good. If we just trust Him. Well, even if we don't trust Him, He's still going to work it out together for good. No matter what. Now, we can respond the wrong way and we'll lose out on learning the lesson that He has for us. And He'll just bring another one our way. You know, a lot of times we would have a lot less problems if we would just learn the first time from the first lesson. But we say, no, I don't want to learn. You know, I want to do my own thing. But God has that there for a purpose. God wants to help us to become more like Him. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, sometimes God allows us to go through trials so we can help somebody else with their trials. We don't know. It doesn't matter. You know? God allows different things to come our way and we just need to take them like they are, like God gives them to us. We need to grow from them. And then God will bring other things our way. We might be able to use that trial in somebody else's life to help them through their trials. But again, all things work together for good. For good. You know, and again, we think of good, profitable. It's not something bad. A lot of times we say, God, just help me through this trial. Just get me to the end, other end of this trial. No, we shouldn't pray for that. We should say, God, give me the strength. Help me make it through this trial. Help me as I'm going through this trial so I can become more like You through it. Don't just get me to the other end so that I can not have to go through all the pain and suffering through it. But Lord, I want to go through this trial because I know this is going to help me. See what a difference your life would be? If you live this verse every single day, as you're driving down the road and somebody's cutting you off and instead of getting angry at them and yelling at them, that does a lot of good, doesn't it? How many times has that done you any good? Probably got some people shot, right? Don't live in California if you got that attitude. You'll get shot for sure. Okay? And that's going to really help you as far as being a good godly testimony as a Christian, right? I got 5 minutes yet, right? Three? Okay, we had I'm not going to tell you who they are because I really don't know who they are. We had a missionary in Cambodia. Hopefully you don't support him. I know you don't. You only support us and the Johnsons. We had a missionary in Cambodia that was driving down the road. This is, I've heard this story, so I hope I have it straight. He was driving down the road and this big, nice car passes him up. And then he keeps on going down the road and this car was slower than him, so he passed that car up and then That car passed him again, and he passed that car. This is a missionary through a different mission board. Anyway, they kept passing each other up, and they kind of started getting angry at each other. And finally, the car that passed him originally pulled over and kind of blocked him off from going any further. And this guy gets out of the car, and he's got a gun. And, he's going to, I don't know if he's going to shoot him or he's just threatening him. But anyway, the missionary gets back in the car and hightails it back to the church, which wasn't a good idea. But so he goes back to the church and I don't know if the guy was going to shoot him or what, but he ends up leaving the country and tells all the churches back here that he was persecuted and that's why he was kicked out of the country, is because of religious persecution, is what he said it was. Well, it made all the papers in Cambodia that this missionary and this other guy got in a fight, on the road, and there was road rage between this Christian missionary and this other Cambodian. He was a rich Cambodian, and he had a bodyguard and stuff. But now that looked really good on Christianity, right? That really solved the purpose for the furtherance of the kingdom of God, and really helped out real good. But that's what we do a lot of times. You know, we get angry at people as we're driving, or we don't handle the trials that come our way in the right way. And as we said before, a lot of times we become a bad testimony and a bad witness for our Savior. But if we would handle every trial realizing that this is for my good, there would be a lot less heart attacks in Christianity. I think I really believe that. There would be a lot less physical problems in Christianity because we would have the right attitudes. We would respond the right ways. We wouldn't let our blood pressure get too far. Not saying that everybody that has heart attacks that's a Christian has a problem with their behavior or with their response. I'm not saying that, but I believe there are some that do. And so if we would just apply this verse to our lives, we would be able to live a happy, peaceful Christian life, one that has victory as we live our lives, one that will be a godly testimony and a godly witness to those around us.